A new chapter in the career of American Pharoah begins July 10 in Lexington, Kentucky, when his first crop of yearlings sells at the Fasig Tipton July sales. This is not just another first crop sire, but a sire who became the first Triple Crown winner in 37 years and took owner Ahmed Zayat and his family on the ride of their lives. Zayat is this week's guest on the Thoroughbred Daily News podcast, brought to you by TaylorMade.
Why do TaylorMade horses sell for nearly double the market average? A history of success, honesty, and hard work. For over 40 years, buyers and sellers alike have trusted TaylorMade as the industry's top source for high-quality thoroughbreds and friendly service. While sellers get top dollar for their horses, buyers are rewarded for top results on the track. From sale toppers to Grade 1 winners to Breeders' Cup champions, think TaylorMade, the worldwide leader in thoroughbred sales and marketing.
It began to feel like it was never going to happen, as from 1979 to 2014, 13 horses came to Belmont Park with a chance to sweep the Triple Crown. All 13 failed to finish the mission. That all changed on June 6, 2015.
And American Pharoah kicks away. American Pharoah has opened up a two-length lead as they come to the top of the stretch. And Frosted has moved up into second, and they're into the stretch. And American Pharoah makes his run for glory as they come into the final furlong. Frosted is second with 1/8 of a mile to go. American Pharoah's got a two-length lead. Frosted is all out at the 16th pole. And here it is. The 37-year wait is over. American Pharoah is finally the one. American Pharoah has won the Triple Crown.
This is Bill Finley, the host of the TDN podcast, and we welcome Ahmed Zayat, the owner of American Pharoah. And Ahmed, as good as your horse was and as much confidence as you had in him, were you at all spooked by this 37-year drought? Did it ever cross your mind that maybe this was something, that being winning the Triple Crown, that was something that horses just weren't capable of doing anymore?
Yes, absolutely. Listen, for 37 years, good horses and horsemen have tried this test of champion to come and just finish it at Belmont, you know, very special, beautiful racetrack, a mile and a half, very enduring, big sandy, with all its turns. There's so many variables when you open the gate that because of 37 years of the drought, I was never at any point confident that American Pharoah will do it, let alone a horse that we bred. So yes, I think American Pharoah winning it, the sheer dominance and the way he does it with his majestic way of moving and floating over the ground and come and catch me. What actually have made American racing special is the speed that these horses, but to have speed and stamina at a mile and a half is a unique combination. And American Pharoah brought that hope back. We just seen Justify done it again in 3 years. And, you know, after 37 years, it was that restoring this hope that was incredible and electrifying, not only for myself, my family, and Bob, and everybody, but for the whole industry and the fans, obviously.
Well, you just touched on this a little bit, but I imagine the feeling of winning a Triple Crown is indescribable, but please go ahead and try to describe it to us.
I can't, because every time, like you mentioned, it brings the biggest smile and the most incredible feeling of satisfaction, humbleness, blast, pinching yourself. You question, first of all, why you? I mean, there have been people in this business much longer, seven generation, eight generation. I'm a newcomer, relatively speaking, only since 2006, a horse that was bred that out of a dam that never went past 6.5 furlong. There's so many question mark. How could it be you? So for you to actually be the one to do it in 37 years is just surreal. It's just unbelievable. The moment happened. Saying that, If you just look at the horse and the way American Pharoah demeanor and sheer power, he gave you every single confidence. If any horse can do it, it was him. And honestly, Bill, in the paddock, I almost knew for a second that we were winning. I looked to my wife and I gave her such a big hug and she cried. And I said, Joanne, be ready in 7 minutes. We are going to win the Triple Crown. And I don't talk this way because A, I'm superstitious. B, it's a jinx. Three, even Bob, we both smiled at each other and knew we had it. I would never forget Tom Magna, who flew from Australia, looked at me and said, we got this, we got this. And I looked at him like, don't say that, don't jinx us. And I knew what all of us were feeling. He exuded confidence. Bill, the closest I felt comfortable winning a race, seeing any horse of mine, and I had my share of success of a lot of grade ones. I've made 25 stallions in, you know, almost 8 years, was Nehru. Nehru in the paddock during before the Derby. He was literally breathing fire. You can feel they do this kind of foaming and noise, and they're on the muscle, but focused. That's how American Pharoah was. But since American Pharoah's demeanor is such a pet and very kind and calm, you can see his focus, his eye, the way he looks at me. It's weird. Like, I don't want to sound like a guy who's like dream horses here, but there is really a connection. Mm-hmm. I think Babbitt thinks my cologne attracts him because there is a connection. Like, we look at each other in the eye, and like, I come and like, he put his head on mine, like just coming next to him. And it's like weird. It's just, they become really your children.
I'm sure, especially with a horse that was as special as that. But now, prior to American Pharoah, now, right now, you might consider yourself one of the luckiest owners that ever lived because you won the Triple Crown.
No doubt about it.
But when it came to Triple Crown races, you were about as unlucky as they get. You finished second in the Derby three times. In 2012, your horses finished second in all three legs of the Triple Crown. In 2010, you had the likely favorite for the Derby in Escondrea, who was injured prior to the race and retired. Did you start to think there was some sort of jinx or hex that you were facing down?
Not at all. I thought of it as, honestly, battle-tested. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. I went also financially in my stable through Aurora Coaster, as you know. And it is an absolutely the ultimate Cinderella story where you survive against all odds. I came in the business and the hype of the market. And I bought at the hype of the market. And as you know, this business is about highs and lows and a lot of learning curves. And you get smarter as you hopefully get more years and experience, knowing the right kind of horse to buy, the right trainer, the right circle, the right competition, when you don't, you know, when you need to be patient because they reward you because you're doing the right thing by the horse. There's so many. I've looked at it as, oh my God, we are that lucky. In like 5 years, we've ran three times runner up. So you can look at the glass half full or half empty. I'm kind of the optimist by nature. Honestly, in order to be in this business, you have to be an optimist because by definition, if you are winning at 20 or 25%, meaning that 75% should be losing. And that's if you are really doing well. So by definition, I think this is the biggest orientation that I had to personally adjust. Mm-hmm. I'm competitive by nature. In my business, I love winning. I will be really not happy if I'm losing 75% of the time. And in horse racing, which is the hardest ever, you are tickle pink if you are batting 25%. So there's so many adjustments that you have to learn and endure in order to get these special moments in your life that you say it's everlasting. There is nothing like the high and the sheer euphoria and passion you get from winning a race. It could be 5 claimers. It could be a grade one Derby. It's something special. Anybody who goes to a racetrack and takes their friends just feel the excitement and the bug.
An American Pharoah is getting away, and they're into the stretch. An American has a four-length lead. Advance is second, and then it's Frosted, Totalist, and Honor Code. American Pharoah comes into his final furlong, and he's got a five, a six-length lead as they come to the wire. A Triple Crown winner, a Breeders' Cup winner, a horse of a lifetime.
Well, speaking of thrills, American Pharoah ended his career in style, winning the Breeders' Cup Classic. Well, I can't imagine there's anything more thrilling than winning a Triple Crown race. This win came after a loss in the Travers, and it was in his first start against older horses. A loss might have tarnished his legacy a little bit. The Breeders' Cup, a thrill, a relief, a little bit of both?
Oh, boy, you're really touching in a raw nerve here for me. For a guy that, you know, I'm emotional by nature. I don't think I've ever seen publicly crying except after American Pharoah lost in Saratoga. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to raise this horse after he won his Triple Crown. I felt that a sport without star is not a sport. It just cannot exist. Regrettably, because of the economics of the business, the stallion luring money is so important part of it that by definition, when you sell your breeding rights, a lot of times you have to retire them after three. And I did sell the breeding rights earlier, although I maintained a partner in American Pharoah after selling the breeding rights. I wanted to honor my agreement with the Comer group, who are unbelievably class and honorable and the greatest partners I can think of, by totally giving me a total carte blanche, doing what I needed to do. He was my horse until he retired, and I wanted to keep him racing as much as he could without tarnishing his legacy, or not cognizant of, is he fit enough? Is he happy? Am I squeezing the lemon too much? And I felt he was mine, but it became America's horse, and I wanted to race him as much as I could. So I really wanted to do that until Bob tells me, well, I don't think he wants to do it no longer. And so we went to the Haskell, and he was like in a gallop, very, very exciting race. And my own home state of New Jersey was nothing more pleasurable than doing that, winning the Haskell again. And then they lobbied us to come to Saratoga. And as you know, Saratoga was a history, is a deep track. And for the industry and for the fan, I really wanted to do. And there was this Saratoga and people lobbying us. And I wanted, and I'm not sure Bob really wanted it, but I told him, it's up to him. Let the horse tell us. And I did. And he got beat there. And I was beating myself after the race. And that's where I publicly cried. And I said, maybe I need to retire him. And I remember Vivian Day and my wife looked at me and said, he ran a gallant race. You know, Bob came and told me, no, it was my mistake. The day before, they had 5,000 people watching him. We breathed him like he ran the race. It's not you. It's not like I was beating myself. I'm just being very candid and honest as I am. And I wasn't sure how we squeezed the lemon too much. And I, for the week, Bob will tell me, stop thinking of retirement. Take a week. Think it over. Like literally lobbying me. And I was in Delmar after that, seeing him every day. And I went to see the horse. And he looked awesome. He kept his fitness, his weight training unreal. And I said, you know what? After 10 days, I'll let you know. And I took the time and tried to be open-minded and say, I want the horse to tell me, but if we're going to put him back to race, he better come and do what we know American Pharoah can do. And therefore, the risk-reward were huge against us. And I know he was training really well, but Bob is a master and very you know, he's a magician. And off a layoff from Saratoga till the Breeders' Cup, he did what we knew American Pharoah can, and he went out in a very rewarding, very high track record, the way he did in front of fans in Keeneland for the first time ever. So everything was surreal. Everything was just right. And that kind of defeat made it actually very sweet for me and my family and the fans.
We'll turn our attention to this year's Triple Crown and Justify and make some comparisons between him and American Pharoah. But first, this message from our friends at TaylorMade.
TaylorMade, where customer success is our primary focus.
Ladies and gentlemen, we present Harvard of Grace.
7-10, you want to get 10 million, Hunter, right here, we're going to get out of the mat. That's the way now, it's in. 10-10, here we're going to get out of the mat, we're going to get 10. Bruce, right here, $10 million even.
TaylorMade, where customer success is our primary focus. But don't take our word for it. Here's what some of our most satisfied customers have to say.
This is Brian Kahn, Los Angeles, California. I've been associated with, worked for, and been a client of TaylorMade and the TaylorMade family for close to 30 years now. Had great success with them. They've always been transparent and honest, and I always felt I was getting the right end of the deal with them. Highly recommend their services, from boarding, public sales, private sales. I've used all. All have been a success and a pleasure to deal with.
Here's longtime TaylorMade client Rick Porter of Fox Hill Farms, owner of numerous champions and Grade 1 winners, such as 2011 Horse of the Year, Havre de Grace.
I've been doing business with TaylorMade for over 20 years. Everyone knows they are the best sellers at auction, but they have also done great work for me in the private market. They have an unbelievable network that can help you buy or sell privately in a very professional and transparent way. I wish I had these guys working for me when I was in the car business.
Discover what TaylorMade can do for you. Visit TaylorMadeFarm.com.
And they're into the stretch, and Justify comes roaring home to a raucous Belmont Park with one furlong to run. Gronkowski and Hofberg trying to run him down. Vino Rosso is fourth, a 16th to go. Justify is still there. Justify from Gronkowski. He's just perfect.
It didn't take long. 3 years after American Pharoah, we had another Triple Crown winner in Justify. But Justify and American Pharoah are both trained by Bob Baffert. That's the common link. Ahmed, that can't be a coincidence. How is Bob Baffert able to get so much out of these horses and maintain their consistency and, frankly, do things that some of the greatest trainers in the sport don't seem able to do?
If you want the real answer and my own insight on Bob Baffert, Bob literally speaks to his horses. I've never seen a person, and Bob and I are not, he's not just my trainer, we are friends. We speak regularly every day almost. He texts me maybe 6-7 times a day. So we've developed a very strong bond. And me watching Bob, particularly in Del Mar every day in the morning, when we go work horses, my horses or others, I see him calling audible and being able to be so much in tune with every little thing about the horse, his demeanor, his weight, the way he moves, the way he, before the groom, he will, that lives with the horse, he'd be able to tell. And that tenacity and focus and ability to know exactly the horse that you're supposed to train, what I need to do with him, what I need to teach him today, what can I get out of him? He got it down, honestly, down to an art. I think Pharoah helped him in having a try run at it again, and he followed exactly the same script. When I went to visit him the day after he won again the Triple Crown, which was tickle pink for him and for Windstar and for my friends, I went to visit him that morning after the race and Jill at the barn in Belmont. And I told him, I always ask you, is it the horse or the trainer? And he looked at me and smiled with a lot of humbleness. And I said, I think I got the answer, Bob. And he said, no, it's the horse. So I guess that can tell you that you really have to have the right trainer to get the best of special, talented horses. These are one of 12 or 13. They are above the cut. They are cut from different cloth. They are all special. I'm not so much built into comparing. There's only one horse in my life that nobody can compare. It's Secretariat of Many Man of War. I'm not a historian either, but all the others are just special, special horses, and each one is special in his own right.
Well, you're obviously not objective about this, and it's probably a question that I'm not going to get an answer to, but I have to ask anyways. Who's the better horse, American Pharoah or Justify?
I just told you I'm not going to do
this comparison. That's what I thought.
I think it's unfair, but
right.
But how could I not say, how could I not answer that? Mm-hmm. How could I not tell you that, you know, everybody thinks of their kids as their best. Mm-hmm. I think they're very different horses. I think American Pharoah, arguably, probably the most incredible, super dynamics, mechanics, thermodynamics. You can study all physics on him about his sheer power, stride, size, and his ability to move and float. American Pharoah spent maybe 80 to 90% of his race actually in air. I mean, he's an incredible, the most gorgeous, the breeze of American Pharoah, people can talk about for generation. His demeanor as being kind and his temperament and pet-like and his persona distinguish him from a lot of regular horses, let alone Triple Crown. So now, add to that, he's incredibly fast. He ran very fast races. His sheer dominance in winning is by 5, 6, 7 lengths, coming from a modest pedigree in the bottom side of his dam. So he's done everything that's against the grain. In my opinion, that define not just good and nice and special horses, it define greatness. And where does he fit in the 13? Who cares? Is he better than Justify or Justify better than him? I can't answer that, and I wouldn't. They're just all special. And honestly, this is the honest truth I feel. I'm happy for Justify. I'm happy for any Triple Crown, and I'm happy for me.
The 1972 Miami Dolphins are the last team to win the Super Bowl in an undefeated season. And every year they say those players relish that fact and don't want to see another team do what they did. Did you have any similar feelings in any way, shape, or form? Did it justify winning the Triple Crown take away from American Pharoah? People used to say, oh, it's so hard, and then it's done twice in 4 years. Was there any feelings of that sort? Wow, maybe this doesn't make American Pharoah's accomplishment seem quite so special. I know you well enough to know that's not how you felt, but I still want to get an answer to that question.
I promise you not. I have been in the record before the race, mm-hmm. all week coming to the race, rooting for him. My kids, my friends, Bob knows. I went to Windstar to visit Elliot, to rub on him and give him luck. I have no envy on me as a person. It's just not my nature. But forget about me. I'm just happy to be the owner. I really wanted it for the sport. Mm-hmm. It's important to know. You know, in the 70s, we had 3 Triple Crown winners in 10 years. It goes in cycles. It brings hope. It makes me feel that I can have another Triple Crown winner. To be honest with you, I thought that I would never, you know, it's one off. I'll never be able to do that. Why can't they do it again? So I think that hope, that the fact that you can do it, the fact that the horses are getting faster and better, and we're able, remember, even if you come and compare, you really can compare historically how these races have run. The field sizes are different. They are not limited. They used to be 7, 8 horses. Now they're 20 horses. American Pharoah traveled. He didn't need his track. He ran on dry. He ran on monsoon. He ran on rain. He ran in Saratoga. He ran in Arkansas, he ran in Belmont. He traveled all over. He was the most traveled horse. He rests at 2. There's so much you can say about. Now we completely have a horse that just did it, that he broke every single rule in the book, not being raced at 2, coming and winning, having all these grueling races in 5 weeks and being able to win the way he did. He's a special horse. He's a Triple Crown winner. That's why he deserves to be respected. I went on tweet today, defending people coming and saying, oh, like it was ridiculous. Go look at my tweet. Like as if, you know, he has something still to prove, Justify. Why? What else you could do?
Well, what kind of sire will American Pharoah be? That's the next chapter in his career, and we'll tackle that subject with Ahmed Zayat. But first, this message from TaylorMade.
And here it is! The 37-year wait is over! American Pharoah is finally the one! American Pharoah has won the Triple Crown!
Over the past four decades, TaylorMade has risen from a small boarding operation to the worldwide leader in thoroughbred sales and marketing. Here's Hall of Fame trainer Jerry Hollendorfer.
TaylorMade sales follow many horses that are training at the racetrack, and they are particularly adept at evaluating mares and placing them with a proper stallion after their racing careers are over. They are very straightforward and are also experts on confirmation of younger weanlings and yearlings.
My name is Tia Andrini, and I am from San Mateo, California. I've been doing business with TaylorMade for about a year now, and it's been one great experience after another. It started with my first TaylorMade venture when I bought an interest in the filly Catherine Sophia, which ultimately landed me 3 weeks later in the middle of the winner's circle of the 2016 Kentucky Oaks with her. The TaylorMade team is a group of truly outstanding individuals. They are knowledgeable, professional, and completely customer service driven. To me, the TaylorMade name epitomizes the term trusted advisor. That is exactly what they are, and I am very proud to be associated and doing business with them.
Discover what TaylorMade can do for you. Visit TaylorMadeFarm.com.
$1 million. You're out in the back. $1 million. All done. $1 million. Thank you. $1,050,000. You want to do that? $1,050,000. $1,050,000. Thank you both. $1 million right in here on Tom.
That was an American Pharoah weanling selling last fall at the Fasig Tipton November sale. And yes, the price was $1 million. These horses sold fabulously well as weanlings, averaging $467,000. How does that bode for what's coming up now at the yearling sales?
Do you want the political answer or the Ahmed Bayatri answer?
I want the best answer.
Okay, so there's no such as the best answer.
Okay.
I can tell you the answer that I believe. I believe that stallion make their own. I believe that American Pharoah have all the qualities to make it as a stallion. If he doesn't, I don't know who does. So if intellectually only 11% of stallion that stands make it as stallions or become a real successful stallion, meaning their progeny are runners and can produce a grade one. Saying that, you look at the weanling and yearling, and if you look at anything of what American Pharoah have been throwing, regardless who he bred or not, they're all athletic. They have the same demeanor like the father. They are beautiful looking. A sign of a good stallion for me is his ability to move up their mares. And that was the biggest take I had on Pioneer of the Nile as the stallion that I bred. And I sold, I owned 75% of him, and I wasn't selling anything then. Vinery owned 25% before we moved him to Windstar. And I saw that I was breeding him to, you know, not a very special brood mares, and all the babies looked the part and acted the part and were fast. And that is an indication for me of a stallion that moves up mare is a good stallion. So American Pharoah's baby look unreal. They look athletic. They look correct. They look confirmationally great. They have the right mind. I myself have at least 12 to 13 of them, and they all look the part. He bred the best book on planet, in my opinion. I know that Coolmore themselves, John McEnroe, bred 40 mares of his own from Ireland, I'm told. So he bred a big book, and therefore the probability of having runners are there. I just think that hopefully he will prove himself as a stallion.
You mentioned something interesting, and people probably already know this, but if they don't, American Pharoah's temperament was one of the most incredible things anybody's ever seen. He was like a pony that you could have your three-year-old ride around in a ring. And I'm sure in some ways that contributed to him being a good racehorse because he was so relaxed and just so comfortable. Are you, and you said this, you're hearing that the babies are like that too? They're just like dad and that they're just sweethearts?
Correct. I've seen a lot of my own and others, and I believe that Coolmore, Paul Shanningham of Coolmore, told me that he's beyond excited about what he's been seeing in here in Ireland. And you know how they speak. Hey, lads, like, knock on wood, they are like special. You know, they're very high on it. Everybody's really very high on them. They have that special mind. I know that this is a cliche and people use that, but they really do.
So what's the limit? Are we going to see several of these go for seven figures? Is that what you would expect?
Bill, you've been around the block more than I, and you probably can teach me a lot. You
know, I don't know about that.
Price has nothing to do. Yeah. Price have nothing to do with getting a good or a bad horse. Mm-hmm. It's price is based on there are two bidders wanting a horse. They'll bid him up and have zero. I had horses I bought for 80,000 that became Grade One winners, and I had others that I bought for $1 million that they're not five claimers. So price is usually. You hope that you know what you're doing. You hope you're paying up for what everybody sees like you are, that they are, they have, you know, it's a guessing game when they are yearling. You're looking at confirmation, you're looking at pedigree, you're looking about a walk, but it's limited. Doesn't mean that they, once you put the saddle on them and break them, they'll be runners. You don't know.
Right.
But you try to develop your own system to be able to maximize the probability, and I say probability, of having a runner. So that all goes in that factoring of, do you think he's going to be throwing runners? I'm hoping so.
Okay. Now, you said that you bred, I think you said 12 to 13 mares yourself to him. Are you going to race all of them? Are you going to sell some of them? What are the plans for the Zayat stable, first crop American Pharoahs?
Well, historically, Zayat stable have bred to race. We're not really what you call a commercial breeder, but actually as part of we growing and diversifying, we will be doing that. So this fall, I'll be adding more to my brood mare here in Europe, trying to get some nice European blood back here to strengthen our speed by getting some stamina and old blood from Europe. Justin had been going to Ireland and France and England the last 2 years, and we've done very well with what we bought here. I'm hoping I'll add another 20 to 30 brood mares. And having these numbers, by definition, you have to then become a commercial breeder. It means that you're going to put some of them to sell as a yearling and raise some. And as such, I will probably have some American Pharoahs. Not now, maybe in 2-3 years, that probably would be sold commercially.
Okay. And how about at this year's sales? Well, as many as you've bred to him, or are you looking to buy any as well?
Of course, I will be supporting my stallions.
Right.
I always do. I will be buying, but I'm not going to be selling. I'm not a seller of any of what I have.
Right. Do you ever dream that you could relive this moment? I mean, it's way too much to imagine that he produces a Triple Crown winner that you also own. But let's just suppose you win a really nice Grade One stakes race, not even the Kentucky Derby. Let's say you win the Travers with an American Pharoah, and maybe I'm shooting even a little low there. Can it get any better than that? What would that feel like?
No, you're not, by the way. That's exactly our dreams, meaning I wake up, I tell Justin, Ben, my son, Joanne, Ashley, or Emma, my daughter, the people who are really close and see me every day. Our objective as a racing stable is honestly not to win the Triple Crown or the Derby or the Preakness or the Belmont. Our objective is to win as many Grade Ones as its highest level. Mm-hmm. Of course, being successful means that you're going to go and do all these classics, and you'd love to. but I don't put it as the objective is to win these classics. My objective is to play the game as its highest possible form, get the right horses, either through breeding them or buying them or combination of each, and compete at its highest level. And just being able to do that and have these great ones is just pleasure and joy. And it becomes more pleasurable and more surreal and the ultimate success by having your own stallions, like, you know, American Pharoah producing Bodymeister. Pioneer of the Nile, Bodymeister, mm-hmm. and Painter, and an American Pharoah. I mean, Pioneer of the Nile producing these horses is the ultimate dream. Now, every time a stallion produces another grade one or another stallion is obviously continuation of this great happiness and success in the family.
Well, very good. Alma, thanks so much for all your time. A great interview. Congratulations with all your success in the Triple Crown and all you did with American Pharoah on the racetrack. And I think we're all in for something special when we see these horses hit the racetrack in 2019. It'll be really cool to see them, his first two-year-olds, emerge at Saratoga, Del Mar, and across the land. I want to thank TaylorMade for their sponsorship of the TDN podcast. And thanks once again to Ahmed Zayed.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Thanks.